This is Audible.
Harper Audio presents Blush for Me, a fusion novel by Kristen Proby, performed by Sebastian York and Abby Creighton. Chapter 1. Cat.
So, it was just a kiss. Riley, my best friend, says from the driver's seat next to me. And it wasn't a particularly good one at that.
Dump him now,
I reply with a gusty breath, wringing my hands in my lap.
If he's a shitty kisser, it only goes downhill from there. Trust me on this.
But the conversation was good, sweet Jesus.
Seriously, if there's no spark, move on. The spark is out there somewhere.
You're right, she says, and takes the exit off the freeway, following the signs to PDX. How are you doing? She glances at me and frowns. You're sweaty.
I'm not, I reply. Yes, I am. So damn sweaty.
When was the last time you flew? Riley asks.
I've never flown, I reply and squirm in my seat.
Why doesn't it take longer to get to the damn airport?
Seriously? She changes lanes, and there it is, the airport, straight ahead.
I know you hate it, but I had no idea that you've never flown.
Fucking hell. I've told you, I don't fly.
It's only a 2-hour flight at the most down there.
2 hours too long, I mutter and take a deep breath. Shit, I'm going to pass out. I can't see, I can't hear anything.
Open your eyes, Riley says with a laugh. I've never seen you like this.
I'll be okay.
It's only the 5 millionth time I've said that this morning.
I don't really have to go to this conference, do I? I mean, I have plenty of friends who will be there, and they can tell me all about it when it's done.
You need to go, Kat, Riley says. You'll learn a lot and meet new people and get to tour vineyards and drink wine that you love.
I can do that in Washington and drive there.
You're not a wimp, Riley says as she pulls up to the departures. You've got this. You'll have plenty of time to stop by a bar once you're through security to have a drink to calm your nerves.
You're not coming with me?
I stare at Riley in shock. You know I'm not coming to Napa Valley with you.
No, to the gate.
Riley laughs, and I want to smack her in the head with my handbag. No, Kat, we haven't been allowed to do that since 9/11.
See? One more reason that I shouldn't go.
Get out of my car.
Riley climbs out of the car to retrieve my suitcase for me. I've never known you to be this mean.
You're going to have a great time. She hugs me close. There are lots of signs and people to ask if you get lost in there, but it's not a big airport, so you should be fine. Call me when you get there.
If I get there, I say and sigh deeply. Why do I feel like I'm never going to see you again?
Because you're being dramatic, she replies and smiles brightly. Have fun!
And with that, she waves and drives away, and I'm left alone to figure out this airport hell.
But Riley was right. Checking in and dropping my bag off is easy. Finding security is easy.
Getting frisked by the TSA guy would have been more fun if he'd looked like Charlie Hunnam, but then again, everything would be more fun with Charlie.
I follow the signs, find my gate, and am pleasantly surprised to find a bar directly across from it. There is a god. But once at the bar, I'm just too nervous to drink.
That's a first. Who in the hell gets too nervous to drink?
This girl, apparently. So I wander back to the gate and pace, dragging my small black hard-sided suitcase with red cherries on it behind me. People glance my way, but I ignore them. I'm used to it.
You don't dress the way I do, covered in sleeve tattoos, and not get looks.
Finally, my flight is called, and they begin boarding. Before I know it, I'm sitting on the plane, 3 rows from the front.
If I'm going to die, it's going to be in first class, in the aisle seat. Hello.
The man next to me says. I glance his way, taking in his light brown hair and green eyes, and if we were anywhere but here, I would totally flirt with him. But we're on a motherfucking airplane. Hi, I reply and swallow hard. The flight attendant asks us if we'd like anything to drink before we take off, but I shake my head no and stare at the pilot sitting in the cockpit. Don't they close that door?
Right before we take off,
my travel companion says. I'm surprised that I spoke aloud.
Hey, are you okay?
Fine. He's silent for a moment, and I keep staring at the pilot. I want to march up there and tell him to make sure that we get there in one piece. What are his credentials anyway? I want to see his license, and a few letters of recommendation wouldn't hurt either.
I'm Mac.
I slide my eyes to him and nod, then whip my gaze back to the front. Cat.
Have you flown before, Cat?
No. I swallow hard and tighten my hands into fists.
Okay. Take a deep breath,
he says. He's not touching me, which is good because I'd have to break his nose, and this is already stressful enough. But his voice is soothing.
Good. Take another one. Miss, can we get a bottle of water, please?
I just keep breathing. The flight attendant returns with a little baby bottle of water, which Mac uncaps and holds out for me.
Take a drink of this. Just a small sip.
I comply, the cold water feeling good in my throat. I feel ridiculous. This flight is full of people who are not having panic attacks. I'm sorry, I whisper. This is my biggest fear.
I can tell,
he says gently, and I raise my gaze to meet his. He's a handsome guy,
his short hair styled nicely, his jaw firm, eyes direct.
He's tall, with long arms and legs and a lean body.
How are you feeling?
Better, I reply, surprised to find it true. The water helped. Thank you.
No problem. Are you going to Napa Valley on vacation?
Work, I reply, shaking my head. I'm attending a conference.
So you're a wine enthusiast, then?
You could say that, I reply with a smile. I own a wine bar in Portland. His eyes narrow for just a moment.
Really? Which one?
The one inside Seduction.
I've heard great things about that place.
I smile widely now. Intensely proud of the restaurant that my four friends and I have built from the ground up. Seduction is our baby, our pride and joy. That's nice to hear, I reply. You've never been?
Not yet, but I'll make a point to go the next time I'm in the area.
So he doesn't live in Portland. Bummer. Mac is one guy I wouldn't mind running into again. But before I can give this much more thought, the door of the plane is locked, and they're announcing the flight time and showing me how to use my seatbelt. Really, is not knowing how to fasten a seatbelt a thing? And use the oxygen mask if I should need it. Please, God, don't let me need it. The door between me and the pilot is closed, and the plane pulls away from the gate, and I think I'm going to throw up.
If you need to get sick,
Max says, seemingly reading my mind.
There's a bag here.
I'm not going to get sick, I hope.
I like your tattoos,
he says. Thanks. The plane drives for what feels like forever, passing other planes and gates. Are we driving there? I had no idea this was a road trip. I would have brought some chips. I sigh deeply and rub my forehead, which is disgustingly sticky with sweat.
We're taxiing to the runway,
Max says.
If you need to grab my hand, I don't mind.
Are you hitting on me? I ask, turning to him now and finding him smiling widely at me, his green eyes lit with humor.
No, I'm offering my hand if you're afraid.
But you're not hitting on me.
Damn. Not unless you want me to.
His lips twitch as his eyes lower to my lips. And I wish with all my might that we were in my bar rather than in this plane so I could flirt back and enjoy him a bit.
I whisper and lick my lips.
You're not going to die, Cat. His eyes grow serious now. He blinks once. His jaw firms, and he takes my hand. You're not going to die.
Okay. I nod and sit back in my chair. But then suddenly the plane turns a corner and picks up speed, racing down the runway. Oh my God. It lifts up off the ground, and we're soaring in the air, and I'm going to pass out.
Deep breaths. Mac's voice is in my ear.
I comply, taking a deep breath, letting it out, then taking another one.
No passing out on me.
Are you psychic? I ask breathlessly.
No. You're turning blue.
I can hear the smile in his voice, but I'm not brave enough to open my eyes to look at him.
If you could let up just a bit on my hand, I'd appreciate it.
I immediately let go of his hand and open my eyes. He's shaking his hand,
as if I'd just almost taken it off, and I shake my head.
I'm sorry. I didn't even realize I was holding it so tightly.
I think I'll have blood flow back in my fingers by next week,
he replies with a smile. He sees me glance to the window and immediately closes it, so I can't see the ground moving farther away.
If you don't look outside, it just feels like we're on a train.
No, this doesn't feel like a train.
Tell me about your tattoos.
Why?
Because I'm trying to distract you from being scared,
he says, and shifts in his seat. A bell dings, catching my attention.
That's just how the pilot communicates with the flight attendants.
Like Morse code?
Something like that, he replies. So, tell me about your tattoos.
No. I shake my head and clench my hands in my lap.
Why not?
Tattoos are personal, and I don't know you.
You held my hand,
he says, and then laughs when I toss him a glare.
Okay, no personal stuff. What are we supposed to talk about, then?
I don't think we're supposed to talk.
Sweetheart, I think that if we don't talk, you'll make yourself crazy with reliving every lost episode you ever saw.
I wasn't even thinking about that until now.
Where did you go to high school?
I was homeschooled, I reply. Graduated at 16, then went to college. Now I run a bar. That's pretty much it.
I think there's probably more to you than that, but okay.
Why is a flight attendant walking around? Shouldn't she have her seatbelt on?
She's going to serve us refreshments,
he says.
She's used to this. Trust me.
I don't know why I trust him, but I do. He's nice. I also don't know why I'm on this freaking plane. This was a very bad idea. Damn them for dangling a sexcation in my face.
Excuse me.
Mac grins, but I just shake my head. Nothing. What can I get you to drink? The flight attendant asks, and sets a napkin on the armrest between Mac and me. More water, please,
I reply, proud of myself for having enough wits about me to answer her question.
She delivers the water and a snack, and I sit back, relieved to find that Mac's right. It really does feel like a loud train ride.
You're doing great,
he says a few minutes later as he munches on a bag of chips.
How do you feel?
Better, I reply. I don't love it, but I think I'm going to survive it.
Good.
Just as I'm beginning to think that I'm a pro at this flying gig, the plane starts to shake and dip. The pilot comes over the speakers and tells us all to buckle up and the flight attendants to return to their seats. And I look at Mac in blind panic.
It's just rough air,
he says gently. Seriously? We had to fly through rough air on my first flight?
I'm quite sure it's a conspiracy,
Mac replies, his face dead sober.
We should write a letter to our congressman.
Shut up! I snap and wince when the plane shakes some more. The flight attendants hurry to stow their carts and get in their belts. And for the rest of the remaining hour to California, we are restricted to our seats while the plane takes us on the ride of terror. I'm sweating again, I mutter, and wipe my forehead with the back of my hand.
Here,
Max says, and passes me the napkin from under his drink.
It's cold.
Thanks. It feels good on my head. I shudder to think what my makeup must look like, but then again, I don't give a shit. If we die in this tin can, it won't matter what my makeup looks like. We're not going to die, Max says. Stop reading my mind, I reply. You said it out loud, he says with a laugh. I'm sorry this flight is so bumpy. It isn't usually this bad.
I need to get on the ground. I turn to him and grip his hand tightly. I can't do this anymore. I need to be on the ground.
Okay, sweetheart. Take another deep breath.
I do, and turn away. But he pulls me back to look him in the eyes.
No. You stay with me. Deep breaths. Listen to my voice.
You have a good voice.
Thank you.
Are you a doctor?
No.
He grins and drags his knuckle down my cheek. If I wasn't so terrified, I'd climb him. What do you do?
I own a business, he says. Has anyone ever told you you have gorgeous eyes?
I don't know.
And I don't. I can barely remember my name right now. Between being scared and looking at the sexiest man I think I've ever seen, I'm a mess. Well, you do.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are beginning our descent into Santa Rosa. We should be on the ground in about 15 minutes, but it's going to be bumpy. Seems we have a lot of wind coming in off the ocean. Hang tight. We'll have you on the ground in just a few minutes.
Oh, God!
You're doing so great, Max says, and I can't help but laugh.
You really are. We're almost there.
I nod and hold his hand tightly as we descend. I hate the way it makes my stomach roll. I've never been good at amusement park rides or long road trips. Motion sickness is a real thing. Finally, we're on the ground. I've never been so happy in my life.
You did it. You survived your first plane ride.
Max smiles proudly, and I smile back. I did it! I'm going to throw up. We're soon parked at the gate, and the doors open. I stand, grab my suitcase, and make a run for the jetway. I need a bathroom, now. I'm sweaty. My heart is pounding. Of course, leave it to me to have a panic attack after the fact. Thankfully, there's a bathroom near the gate. I rush inside, find a stall, and heave until my body aches and I'm drenched in more sweat. Sweet baby Jesus, I need to get to the hotel. But I survived, and that's all that matters. It's amazing what a hot shower, a 30-minute nap, and room service can do. A few hours later, I'm feeling much better, which is good, because I have to go down to the welcome party and socialize. I have made some friends in the wine business, most of which has been online or over the phone. I'm excited to meet them in person and put some faces with the voices. I lean in to apply my lipstick, then grin at my reflection. I've rocked that flight, I snort. Okay, I survived it, and that's kind of the same thing. I shrug and take stock of myself. It's a vast improvement to when I arrived. I can't even imagine what poor Mac must have thought of me as I rushed off without even thanking him. I was afraid that if I opened my mouth, I'd just throw up all over him, and that would have been horrific. But now my hair is back in place, with big curls and cute pink bunny pins holding it off my face. I'm in a black dress, military style, with chunky pink heels, and I brought my awesome pink patent leather handbag to match. I'm ready to mingle, drink some wine, and meet new people. The ballroom is already mostly full of people. This week-long conference is comprehensive and big. There will be tours to most of the wineries in the area, workshops, dinners. I'm most excited to tour the vineyards. It's my favorite thing to do. I walk to the bar, order a glass of a local Pinot that I don't know well, and turn to take in the room.
Are you Kat Myers?
I turn and grin.
I am. Sally Franks,
the pretty redhead says and holds her hand out.
We've talked a few times.
Yes, hi, Sally. I shake her hand. How are things in Denver?
Great, she replies. But it's nice to get away. How was your flight?
Bumpy, I smile, but I immediately want to change the subject, not wanting to relive the terror from this morning. Someone walks up behind me. Sally's eyes go wide.
You look like you're feeling better.
Mac. That's Mac's voice in my ear. A shiver runs through me as I turn around and look up, way up, into his green eyes. I am, I reply and take a sip of my wine. Was he that good-looking on the plane? I didn't realize you were attending this conference.
You had other things on your mind earlier, he says smoothly, and motions for the bartender. I'll have what she's having, and another for her as well.
What if you don't like Pinot? I ask and tilt my head to the side.
I like it all, he says with a wink.
Oh my.
Do you know many people here?
He asks, nodding towards Sally, who has moved on to chat with another group of people. A few. I've not met most of them in person, unless they were up in Washington or Oregon. How about you?
Same, he says with a grin. This is my first conference down in Napa Valley, and it's off to a great start.
Right. I laugh and shake my head. Dealing with a crazy chick on the plane is exactly the best way to start your trip.
It is.
He says and looks me dead in the eye.
She wasn't that crazy. She was scared. There's a difference.
Well, she's fine now.
I'm glad.
His lips tip up into a smile, and my stomach clenches. He has a dimple in his left cheek. I want to lick it. I take a sip of my fresh glass of wine and smirk to myself. Perhaps Mac fits the sexcation bill.
What just went through that gorgeous head of yours? I'm not drunk enough to tell you yet, I reply honestly.
Mac's eyes widen briefly, and then he simply smiles at me.
There's a lot of wine in this place.
Thank God for that. A few hours later, after chatting with many people, new and those I already know, including Mac, he escorts me up to my room. Sexcation. But when we reach my door, he leans in and kisses my cheek. Just the cheek. I frown up at him. This is supposed to be a sexcation, not a fucking dating game. It's a grumble, but I'm shocked to hear the words actually leave my lips rather than stay in my head where they're supposed to be.
A what?
Mac asks. Nothing. I shake my head and pull my key card out of my handbag. Good night.
Can't.
Yeah? I look back at him and sigh a little at the sexy dimple in his cheek, and the way his shirt pulls against his shoulders as he leans on the doorframe.
I'll see you in the morning.
It's already morning, I remind him.
It won't be too long then.
He kisses my cheek again and walks away, and I let myself into the room, set my bag down, and plop onto the bed. Dumb sexcation isn't working out the way it's supposed to, I pout. But before I know it, I'm drifting to sleep, dreaming of a sexy, green-eyed man with a dimple in his cheek.
Chapter 2. Mac. I didn't sleep at all last night. I tossed and turned for far too long, then decided, fuck it, and paced the hotel room for a while. I couldn't get her out of my head. Her sweet smile, her amazing red hair, her quirky sense of style. I called myself 50 kinds of fool for walking away from her hotel room. She would have happily invited me in. Maybe I'm losing it. And now there she is, across the room from me at the first vineyard tour of the day, sniffing a small glass of wine and smiling to the woman standing next to her. Her bright hair is twisted up into a style that would have been popular in the 50s. She's wearing dramatic makeup, including red lipstick. Amazingly, it looks completely natural on her. A fitted button front dress, black with white skulls, and killer red heels show off her long legs. Legs that I wouldn't mind having wrapped around my waist as soon as possible. No one but Kat could pull off that look. It's sexy as fuck. She raises her eyes and catches my gaze, and a slow smile slides across those sexy red lips. Her brown eyes are full of laughter as she takes a sip of the red wine, then swirls her glass and returns her attention to the sommelier pouring the samples. The sommelier with his eyes on Kat's tits. I narrow my eyes and walk over to stand next to her and smile at, I look at his name tag, Kyle. I'd love a sip of that. Of course, he replies with a smile and pours the red. This is a Cabernet from 2 years ago. I think you'll enjoy it. What do you think of it? I ask Kat. It's a little bitter at first, but the more it opens, the more full-bodied it becomes. It's nice. I smell it, hold the glass to the light so I can see through it, then sip it. She's right. It's bitter. So I swirl my glass and step in front of her, cutting Kyle off. How did you sleep? I ask. Like the dead? She replies with a smile, and just like that, I'm knocked off my axis again. The chemistry between us is off the damn charts. I'm glad to hear it. And you? Shitty, I reply calmly, and take another sip of my wine. Seems I couldn't stop thinking about a certain woman who has a fear of flying. Yes, I'm sure her cutting the circulation off in your hand was super sexy. Everything about her is sexy, I reply, and hold her gaze as I finish my wine and set the glass aside. Do you spit? I ask, and laugh when her eyes go wide. You might have found out last night, she replies, not at all embarrassed, and my respect for her just went up about 1,000 points. I was talking about the wine, I reply. Many people spit the samples out so they don't get drunk. Sometimes I will, she says with a shrug and wanders out the front door to the porch. We both lean on the railing and cross our arms. But there's usually something to nibble on during most tours, and as long as I have a little something in my stomach, I'm okay. Plus, we're not driving. She nudges me with her shoulder. So if we get drunk, it's no big deal. You have a point, I reply, and have to resist the urge to wrap my arm around her shoulders and tug her in for a hug. What in the hell is happening? I've been attracted to more than my share of women, and enjoyed many of them, but I've never had this undeniable urge to simply touch a woman. I'm not a touchy-feely kind of guy. Before I can give in to the urge, Kat takes my hand in hers and kisses my knuckles, and I swear to God, just from that alone, my cock is on alert. What was that for? I ask. I almost broke it yesterday, she replies, and laces our fingers together. Thanks for that, by the way. I ran off as soon as the door opened, and I felt bad for not thanking you. My guess is you were about to be sick. Her cheeks flush, and she looks down. You're a good guesser. I was happy to help, I reply, and kiss her hand, then pull away before I do something stupid like bend her over this railing, which is exactly what I want to do. Looks like we're moving on to the next vineyard, Kat says, as the others in our group come outside and wander toward the bus. We follow them, sitting together. It feels natural, comfortable, to be with her, and to my delight, we end up spending most of the day together, sampling wines, wandering through vineyards, getting a little drunk. I've never seen one this big, Kat exclaims as she holds a wine glass up to show me. That's what she said, I replied, deadpanned. She snorts and takes a sip of wine. This one's good. They're all good. No, that one at the last place was not good. She wrinkles her nose and I lean in to kiss it. You kissed my nose? Yes. If you're very lucky, she leans in and buries her finger in my chest, I'll let you kiss me in other places later. I'm good with the nose, I reply. Liar. I grin. Totally lying. She giggles as we follow the group out to wander through the grapes. It's a beautiful day, not too hot, although with all the alcohol running through our veins, we're all flushed. Kat wanders ahead, softly touching leaves and grapes. She's graceful in the way she moves. I wonder if she's that graceful when she's having sex. She turns back to me. Are you coming? No, I reply and join her. I'm just breathing hard. She frowns for a moment, processing, then smirks. Good one. I thought so. I like your sense of humor. You're not crass, you're just funny. Good. Being crass is disrespectful. I just want to have a good time. That's what she said, she replies, and laughs at her own horrible joke. It's pretty here. Yep, I reply and continue staring at Kat. Now you're just trying to get in my pants. You're not wearing pants. I love an observant man, she says, and leads me into a barn that the owner has converted into barrel storage. Oh, there's nothing like the smell of oak in a wine barn. Agreed. The tour guide is describing their process of crushing the grapes, barreling them, how long they ferment, and I can't help but feel a little bad that he got our group so late in the day because we're all a little tipsy. Finally, he dismisses us to have a look around and to wander back to the main building to sample more wine and eat some cheese, breads, and fruit, which is a good idea. Is this the last place today? Kate asks me. Yes, after this we head back to the hotel. And room service, she says with a dreamy look on her gorgeous face. I'm hungry. Are you hungry? Yes. What are you going to order? I'm not that kind of hungry, I reply, and feel my cock twitch when she raises a brow and sends me a flirty wink. I'll chalk the honesty and flirtation up to too much wine and sun, and intense lust. Once inside, I encourage Kat to eat and do the same. Have you ever noticed that a wine drunk is different than any other kind of drunk? Kat says as she nibbles on some strawberries. How is it different for you? Well, with hard liquor, it's a fast, all-encompassing drunk. My face tingles. It feels more out of control. She swallows and takes a sip of the water bottle I gave her. Beer is probably the least potent for me. Maybe because I don't drink much of it. I don't love the taste of beer. And how does wine make you feel? She thinks for a moment, narrowing her gorgeous brown eyes. It's a slow burn, she begins. I get warm. My cheeks get a little numb. She leans in and crooks her finger for me to lower my ear to her. And even my clit tingles. I swallow hard and brush my lips over her temple. If you're trying to seduce me, it's working. Trying? No. Just being honest. She pats my cheek. But it's a bonus that it's working. And with that, she saunters away, her feet clicking on the hard floor, hips swaying in that tight dress, and I'm pretty sure I won't survive the ride back to the hotel. She glances over her shoulder as she leads me down the hallway to her room and smiles. Are we going to have a repeat of last night? The kind where I kiss your cheek and leave? Yeah, that. I sure hope not, I reply with a gusty sigh. It almost killed me. Why did you leave? Because I'm an idiot, I reply, and shove my hand through my hair. She unlocks the door and leads me inside. Are you sure about this? Let me explain something to you. She tosses her bag on a table and turns to me, her hands on her hips. This is going to be my sexcation. Excuse me? Sexcation, she repeats, and begins unbuttoning her dress, making my mouth go dry. My friends and I came up with the concept. I'm not home, so the guy I choose to have sex with isn't going to show up at my place all the time. I can have mutually satisfying sex with someone I enjoy. No harm, no foul. Sounds too good to be true, I say with a frown. You're fine with having sex with me on this trip with no strings attached and never seeing me again after we leave here? Yes, please, she says, nodding her head emphatically. One rule, I reply, eager to get my hands on her. Tell me fast because this dress is almost off my body and I'm not wearing panties. Christ. I swallow hard again and wipe my fingers over my mouth. I'm the only one you're fucking on this trip. I'm not a serial sexcationer, she replies with a sober face. Is that it? I don't do serious relationships, I say, wanting to make sure she knows the score here. I like you, but I won't be pursuing you after this. Did you not understand me when I explained the theory behind the sexcation? I understand. I just want to make sure you understand as well. I'm attracted to you, I enjoy you, and I'll fuck you 7 ways to Sunday all week, but that's it. Fantastic. She lets her dress drop and pool around her feet, and she's standing before me in a black push-up bra and nothing else. I peel my tongue off the roof of my mouth. Lose the bra. She bites her lower lip and complies, letting it fall to her side, and I have to take a long, slow breath. Her skin is perfection, pale, smooth. Her nipples are a deep pink and puckered. Her body is curvy in all the right places, and she is confident and proud, not hiding herself in the least. Fucking hell, you're beautiful. And you're overdressed. She crosses to me and takes matters into her own hands, tugging my shirt up over my head, then licking her way down my torso as she slips my jeans down my hips. You like to go commando, too, she says with a smile, as my cock slips out of the denim, practically smacking her in the face. She grips me in her firm fist and licks me, from balls to tip in one motion, making my eyes cross. Thank God for commando, I mutter, and bury my fingers in her hair, loosening it. I haven't even kissed you yet. You'll get to it, she replies, and goes to town, sucking me and jacking me, and if I were 10 years younger, I would embarrass myself horrifically right now. Instead, I grip her shoulders and pull her up, lift her until she wraps her legs around my waist, and carry her to the bed, finally kissing her madly. You're a good kisser, she whispers against my lips. Likewise, I reply, and lower her to the bed as I kiss her some more, nibbling her lips, the corner of her mouth, and down her neck to her collarbone. God, you taste good. You're better than wine, she says with a smile, then gasps when I suck her nipple into my mouth, then let go with a loud pop. Jesus, that's good. Not too rough? It's never too rough, Mac, she says, and buries her fingers in my hair, pulling firmly. I grin and bite her nipple, then leave wet kisses down her torso, her ribs, around her navel. You have an Audi. So do you, she says with a laugh. That's not my belly button, sweetheart. I bite her belly for that, making her moan and squirm under me. Jesus fucking Christ, she's responsive. Maybe I should punish you for that. Oh, yes, please, she says, nodding furiously. I'm a naughty girl. You're a drunk girl, I remind her, nibbling down her thigh. You smell amazing. I'm not so drunk anymore. She plants her foot on my shoulder and raises her hips, offering her pussy to me, and I don't disappoint her. I grip her ass in my hands and lick her smooth pussy. She gasps and pulls harder on my hair. Fuck, you're good at that. I smile against her and drag the tips of my teeth over her lips, dip my tongue into her opening, and up again to pull her clit into my mouth to suck hard. I slip two fingers inside her and delight in her falling apart against my face, crying out, thrashing her head back and forth. She's squeezing my fingers like a fucking vice. I need to be inside her. I'm desperate for her. But I don't want to take this too fast. I leisurely kiss up her body. Look at how you blush for me, Cat. I can't open my eyes, she replies, panting heavily. I'm not convinced that I'm not dead. I pinch her nipple, making her yelp. I don't think you're dead. Thank God. She drags her hands down my shoulders and arms. Birth control. That's the sexiest thing anybody's ever said to me. She smirks and circles her hips, making my eyes roll back in my head. I'm on the pill, but this is a sexcation, and I'm not taking any chances. There are condoms in my suitcase. You came prepared for this sexcation. I lick my way down her arm, nibble the inside of her elbow. I like a woman who plans ahead. I'm a planner, she agrees. And if you don't put a condom on that monster cock of yours and fuck me blind in 2.2 seconds, we're going to have a problem. I smirk down at her, brush her unruly hair off her face, and kiss her long and hard, pulling back only when we're both gasping for breath. I'm not going to be gentle with you. Promises, promises.
Chapter 3. Cat. I don't know what I did to deserve Mac as a sexcation partner, but I'd gladly do it again over and over if it had the same results. The man is sex on a fucking stick. The body beneath those trendy clothes is off the hook. I could just touch him all damn day.
Okay, that's a lie. It would lead to sex in a heartbeat. But damn, I wouldn't complain.
He climbs off of me and crosses to my suitcase.
In here?
Yeah, on the bottom. I pull the covers down and climb inside the bed, covering myself, and earn a glare from Mac as he turns back to me, a fresh box of condoms in his magical hand.
Another rule.
You're very strict, I say, as he opens the box and rejoins me. A small smile tickles his lips.
You have no idea,
he says.
I don't want you to ever cover yourself up.
You're beautiful. And cold, I reply with a smirk.
I'm not shy, Mac. I was chilly.
I can fix that, he replies, pulling the covers off of me and replacing them with his long, lean, muscular body. He nestles himself between my legs and buries his face in my neck, kissing and licking and making me tingle in all the right places.
You smell amazing.
You feel better, I whisper, and get a firm grip on his ass. And I want you inside me, Mac. He rears back, sucks on my nipple, and slips halfway inside me. He stops and stares down at me, panting.
Okay.
So much better than okay. I wrap my legs around his ass and tug all the way.
Don't want to hurt you.
I'm too fucking wet for that. He glides the rest of the way, bracing himself over me, staring down at me with deep green eyes and tousled hair.
Your tattoos look so bright on these white sheets, Kat. You're so full of color. I don't know where to look first.
Stop being romantic, I reply, smiling playfully. You're supposed to just fuck me blind. He cocks a brow.
No pretty words.
I shake my head slowly and roll my hips, making his jaw clench. Pure female satisfaction wraps around me as I kiss his arm, then bite the muscle, and suddenly I'm flipped over and Mac slaps my ass hard. I'm pressed flat against the bed, his legs straddling mine, and he's fucking me hard and fast. All I can do is fist the pillow and moan in delight as he hits just the right spot, over and over. In this position, he feels even bigger, filling me up, making me crazy. He licks between my shoulder blades, then bites my neck.
Better.
I can only nod. My body is on fire, feeling more than I thought was possible. He fists my hair at the nape of my neck. He doesn't pull, but holds tight, reminding me who's in charge. It's just about the hottest thing ever.
So fucking sexy,
he rasps, never losing the momentum.
I've wanted to be inside you since I first saw you. I'm going to fuck you every day that we're here, Kat.
Yes. Oh my God, his voice, full of sex and promises, is going to send me over the edge. Fuck!
That's right.
He shifts, planting his knees between mine so he can raise my hips up off the bed, slaps my other cheek and pushes balls deep, and holds himself there, grinding against me, making me lose my ever-loving mind. Finally, both of us panting and sweaty, he pulls out and collapses next to me. Neither of us can talk, which is fine because I don't know what I'd say anyway. What does one say after they've had the best sex of their life? Thank you seems trite.
What are you thinking?
He asks. That I'm hungry, I lie and turn to face him. And that you should order room service for us. He smirks.
What do you want?
One of each. Time flies when you're having fun. It's an old cliche, but I never realized just how true it is until this week. It's flown by, touring vineyards and sitting in on classes during the day and going to bed with Mac every night. Every night.
The man can fuck like nobody's business, bless him. But now it's our last day together. I'm not silly enough to think that we've fallen in love this week. I won't pine for him like a lovesick teenager after we leave here. But I will remember him fondly, and the amazing week we spent together in wine country. I guess it is rather romantic, even though a sexcation is anything but romantic. We're here, Mac whispers in my ear as a bus pulls up to our final vineyard for the week. Awesome. Where were you just now? He asks, and drags his hand up and down my thigh. He makes me want to purr. The things this man can do with his hands should come with a warning label. I'm right here, I reply.
No, you are somewhere far away,
he murmurs. Just thinking about all the things I have to do when I get home. I lie easily with a smile as we all file off the bus. I'm not drinking much today. I've been beyond tipsy every day by the time we made our way back to the hotel, and while it's been fun, I'm feeling the effects of too much alcohol. I may not be over the crazy sex with Mac, but I'm quite over the wine, and that's a sentence I never thought I'd say in my life.
You're far away again, Mac says,
smiling down at me and holding a wine glass out for me to take. Sorry, I shrug. It's been an eventful week. His green eyes flare in lust.
Indeed it has.
I smirk, then shake my head when he offers the glass to me again. I think I'll pass today. His brows climb into his hairline.
Are you feeling okay?
I'm fine. I've just had a lot of alcohol this week. I'm going to take it easy today.
Good idea.
He replies with a nod and turns to the sommelier.
We won't be tasting the samples today, but we will still want you to tell us about each one and pour one glass for us to smell and examine.
Absolutely,
the young man says with a professional smile and begins his presentation. The wine smells amazing, and I make a note to order several cases for the bar before Mac and I make our way out to walk in the vines. This is my favorite part, I say quietly as we meander through the tall green vines, all planted in perfect rows for as far as the eye can see.
The grapes?
He asks. Yep. I stop and hold a bunch of red grapes in my hands. They're not quite ready to pick yet, but they will be in a couple of days. They're gorgeous.
It smells good out here,
he replies and takes a deep breath.
We've been lucky with the weather.
I would say we're just lucky. I smile and wander farther through the vines. I'm in a weird mood today. Not nearly as happy as I usually am, but not sad in the least. Maybe it's just that I know tonight is my last night with Mac, and I'm a little melancholy about it.
I mean, a girl doesn't say goodbye to the best sex of her life every day. Will you be my date to the farewell dinner tonight?
Mac asks from behind me. I glance at him over my shoulder and feel that feminine satisfaction well up in my chest. I suppose you could talk me into that. His lips twitch. I want to bite them.
I'm relieved to hear that.
Before I can walk back toward the bus, Mac snags my hand in his and pulls me against him, pinning my arms behind my back. His chest is hard against mine, his lips just inches away.
You are a sexy woman, Kat.
You're not so bad yourself.
Am I the only one who doesn't want to say goodbye tomorrow?
I sigh and close my eyes for a brief moment, then look him in the eyes. This isn't the beginning of a relationship.
We both made that clear, he says with a nod. But I wouldn't mind keeping in touch after we both get back to reality.
I shake my head slowly. I think it's best to just leave it be. We had a great time.
We're having a great time. What happens in Napa Valley stays in Napa Valley.
Yes. I chuckle and step back when he releases my hands. Are you going to dance with me tonight? Of course. He replies and gently lays his hand on the small of my back, steering me toward the bus.
Just wait until you see what I can do on these feet.
Are you going to trample me? Should I wear steel-toed shoes?
You have no faith in me,
he replies with a pout. Even his pout is sexy.
How is that even possible?
I'm just concerned about my feet, I reply with a laugh.
I had to stand on these babies to work.
Not only will your feet be fine, but you'll be wowed by my rhythmic talent.
That's a lot to live up to.
I'm up for the challenge.
He winks and gestures for me to climb onto the bus ahead of him. I'm sure he is.
Okay, so he wasn't lying. The man can dance. And I'm not just talking about moving in time to the music and not looking like a douchebag. He's clearly had lessons at some point, because he's twirled and moved me across the dance floor all evening. My feet hurt, but not because he stepped on them. If anything, I may have injured him a time or two.
Seriously, where did you learn this?
I ask, panting as we sit at our table, and I sip my glass of water.
My mother made me take lessons when I was a kid.
He replies with a shrug.
It comes in handy at weddings and bar mitzvahs.
And wine conventions, I add.
Seems so.
You're a man of many talents.
I blatantly let my eyes travel up and down his torso, fucking him along the way. I haven't had any alcohol today, and my lust for him is as strong as ever.
That's a good sign.
Keep looking at me like that, he says before taking a sip of water, and I'll fuck you against that wall in front of all of these people. I smirk. I wish. He narrows his eyes and stands, takes my hand and leads me out of the ballroom and down the hall to a dark, empty conference room. We slip inside. He doesn't turn the lights on. This isn't in front of all of those people.
No. But if you're not quiet, someone might walk in here, and that's rather exciting, don't you think?
He's backed me into the room, holding onto my shoulders and so close to me I can feel the waves of heat coming off his body.
Do you have any idea how fucking sexy you are in this dress?
It doesn't suck, I reply, then gasp when he lifts me onto the table.
One of my shoes slips off my foot and hits the floor with a thud.
You have a body made for sin,
he says, and gently bites my bare shoulder.
This red silk hugs every curve.
I have lots of curves, I reply. My voice is hoarse.
I love your curves.
He nibbles my collarbone.
Now, you're going to need to be very quiet so you don't draw any attention.
Just kiss me while you fuck me and I won't be able to scream. His lips twitch.
My lips are going to be busy doing other things.
He bunches my skirt in his fists, urges me to lift my hips so the skirt can be gathered around my waist, and sinks to his knees.
I love it when you don't wear any panties.
Easy access, I murmur.
Did you do this just for me?
Maybe. I push my hands through his hair, wishing I could see his face better in the darkness. I love the way his green eyes shine when he's turned on.
You're still coming back to my room later, right?
Cat.
Yeah?
Stop overthinking this.
He presses his lips to my thigh.
My back.
I comply, and he rests my feet on his shoulders, opening me wide, and before I know it, his mouth is on me, placing light kisses over my pubis, my clit, my lips,